In so many ways, we travelers function these days like the medieval jester in the Middle Ages. We get out there, we get out of our comfort zone, we leave the castle, we find out what it's like outside of our borders, and we come home and we tell the truth of what we learned. Of course, that makes us travel writers a little bit of journalists, but there are people who do this for a living. They're fundamental to our democracy, and they are correspondents. We're joined by Steve Inskeep. He's the co-host of NPR's Morning Edition, the most widely listened to radio news program in the United States. Steve spent a lot of time overseas, functioning as a foreign correspondent. His new book is Instant City, Life and Death in Karachi. And I want to talk just a little bit about the state of journalism and foreign correspondence as we try to better understand our world. Thanks, Steve, for joining us.
You're glad to do it.
Steve, you've worked as a journalist in the developing world, trying to bring an understanding of our world home. What's your take on the state of journalism right now in the United States from a foreign correspondent's point of view?
Oh, it's been a tough time to be a foreign correspondent, Rick. I mean, I don't know that there's been a golden age necessarily in the past. In the 1990s, there was very little demand, it seemed, for foreign news. There were not all that many news organizations that sent foreign correspondents everywhere. And there wasn't a big news hole for foreign news. We were all interested in, I mean, the United States was the center of the world, and we were interested in our booming economy and things going on here. After 9/11, that changed dramatically. And for a number of years, there was a huge interest in foreign news. I think there still is a huge interest. And that's one of the reasons that NPR's audience has grown and grown and grown, because we're so committed to that. But since the financial crisis and the difficulties of the last few years, a lot of news organizations have closed foreign bureaus, closed their entire foreign staffs. I work with an editor now on Morning Edition, and he previously worked for a newspaper news service. He was the foreign editor. He had a dozen guys that he supervised around the world. And one day, the newspaper chain just closed the whole thing down, fired everybody. And that's normal. And so we have this situation where it's still extraordinarily important for us to understand the world around us, but there aren't quite as many resources, quite as many outlets available to get firsthand accounts of what's going on around the world.
So how do news networks get their news if they don't have as many foreign correspondents out there sending it in?
I was about to say they fake it, but that wouldn't be fair. I mean, news organizations have tried to find ways to be efficient. And instead of having a high-priced correspondent and a high-priced TV camera crew in Moscow, maybe they'll hire one local person to be a producer, to just be ready to marshal some resources if they need to. And in all fairness, I mean, the TV networks and newspapers and so forth can get you the big story, the dramatic story. You know, when there is the Arab Spring, when there are uprisings in Cairo, when there is a spectacular television story, we still get to see it, don't we? I mean, the correspondents will show up. The hosts will show up. You can go see Anderson Cooper.
But do they just show up? Are they just pretty faces showing up, or are they actually on the ground working?
Well, that's kind of what I'm driving at. I mean, I think that they, you know, parachuting in, that sounds so negative. I mean, there was heroic work done in Tahrir Square in Cairo. But the point is that they will do a fine job covering that white-hot moment, but really the meaning of an incident like that is to be found over the long term. You need to pay attention over the long term. You need to pay sustained attention to a story. You need time to understand foreign places. They're so complicated and they're so interesting, really. It's a great, great story to go to a foreign country and try to learn about it, but it takes time. And news organizations don't necessarily have the time, and correspondents don't.
It's an economic thing, isn't it?
It's an economic thing, yeah. They'll be there when there's white-hot attention and when there's competition for ratings, but then they go away.
I got to say, that reminds me of, I'm from Seattle, and we have a struggling baseball team called the Mariners.
I've heard of it.
Once upon a time, we had a very high-priced superstar called Alex Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And A-Rod sucked up all the money, and we didn't have enough money to buy the rest of the team. We had a superstar, but no more team. It seems like it's expensive to have a Brian Williams or a Katie Couric, and the money's got to come from somewhere. Are networks actually making the choice? I don't know how many correspondents' wages would pay for a famous anchor person, but is there a correlation there?
First, I follow the Yankees, Rick, and I think at this moment, there are probably some Yankees fans who would be happy to give you Alex Rodriguez back.
Right.
Sorry, A-Rod. He's done great in some ways. But that's a fair question. There are a lot of millionaire TV anchors. There was a lot of resentment, I think, at CBS when Katie Couric got a big contract at the same time they were cutting. There have been instances where it's gone the other way. Peter Jennings, who was for many years the multimillionaire anchor of World News Tonight on ABC, there was an occasion that I remember years ago when they were going through difficulties, and he renegotiated his contract that he would give back some of his salary if they would preserve some correspondent slots.
There you go.
So, I mean, people can try to be thoughtful and creative in that way.
Another interesting thing is the morphing of network news into becoming, rather than doing a service for our society, of being essentially entertainment, owned by entertainment companies, viable because enough people watch to have advertisers pay the price for their ads. And does that put news into a position where it's got to be more entertaining just to be viable?
Well, yeah, there's this constant competition for attention. And I'm not sure that all of it is that smart. Cable television, which I think is mainly what you're complaining about, the audience for cable TV networks over time has gone down and down and down. They are struggling desperately to hold on to their audience. And the more they struggle in many cases, the more audience they lose. And there are a few news organizations, and I'm happy that NPR and public radio stations across the country are among them, that have taken a different approach and have had confidence that the audience is smart and wants to learn about the world. And we have to work hard to make it entertaining too. We have to be entertaining too, but you can take your audience seriously and assume that they are curious and interested in the world. And I've noticed that public broadcasting has done fine. Public radio has done fine. The New York Times, in spite of the economic catastrophes of the newspaper industry, has come out the other side and seems to be doing okay. The New Yorker magazine, as other magazines have fallen off a cliff, The New Yorker, the most serious of all magazines, but also entertaining, has been profitable in the last few very difficult years. And so there is an audience for those who are willing to grasp the world and take a look around and get their feet dirty and get their hands dirty and then just report what they learned, report what they saw.
I was speaking with somebody who works overseas for CNN, and he told me that his take on this is that now, in order for most news networks in the United States to be profitable from this entertainment point of view, they have to be either playing to the left or playing to the right. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. And I actually want to advance that debate and advance the thinking on that a little bit. I've given a lot of thought to this in the last couple of years. You're exactly right that you have people who have made a lot of money with a conservative point of view. There are people who have made a lot of money with a liberal point of view. I'm not terribly comfortable placing myself anywhere on that kind of spectrum. I don't want to be judged that way. I don't like to be judged that way. Now, there is another approach to news that has also been derided lately, which is described as the voice from nowhere, meaning you're supposedly some disembodied person with no perspective on anything, just kind of a stenographer of facts. I don't agree with that approach to news either. And what I would like us to be as journalists actually is a voice from somewhere. And here's what I mean by that. I don't mean from the right or the left, because I think that's kind of a false scale, a false construct, a false idea of the complexity of us as human beings. I'm from somewhere. I'm not from nowhere. I'm a guy from Indiana. I'm a guy who grew up as the son of school teachers. I'm a guy who got to know Middle America very well. I'm a guy who went to college at Morehead State University in Kentucky and lived in New York for a while and has been overseas to places like Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and Egypt and Colombia and has been privileged to have so many interesting experiences, and I'm continuing to learn. And I want to learn how the world works, and I want to meet interesting people, and I want to introduce them to you, and I want to give you a chance to hear what their life is like and what their ideas are and probe and challenge and question them from my perspective, above all as an American. I'm an American and I'm proud of that. And I bring that perspective to my reporting, but I want to be open-minded and to listen to all kinds of people and bring back valid information as opposed to propaganda to you day after day. And that's what I get a chance to do in my job.
What is the role of journalism in a well-functioning democracy?
I would like to think that journalists are the public's intelligence agency. And let me explain exactly what I mean about that. Let's set aside any criticism that people may have of the CIA and their nefarious dealings over the years, whatever. But let's just talk about what the CIA fundamentally is there to do. It is there to bring independent information and evaluations of information to the President of the United States and his closest advisors. That's their job. And in order to do that, they go to all kinds of unpleasant places around the world. And they don't just talk with people who agree with the president or people who agree with the United States. In fact, it's far more important that they go and talk with people who disagree and who oppose. It's far more important that they observe those people and know what they're doing. And I would like to think that as a reporter, that is precisely my job for citizens, for my fellow citizens. I go as a citizen around this country or outside of this country, and I talk to all kinds of people, and they really should include a lot of people with whom you personally disagree, because the whole point is for you to hear the whole perspective of what they're doing. You want to keep up on what everybody's doing, those you agree with and those you disagree with. I want to listen to them, I want to track their stories, and I want to bring back reliable information about what they're saying, thinking, and doing. I'm your intelligence agency if I'm doing my job.
Steve Inskeep, thanks for your work and thanks for your passion for quality journalism.
Oh, thank you, Rick, and thanks for what you do.
Rick's weekly one-hour radio program, Travel with Rick Steves, airs in more than 130 cities across the country. Help yourself to free podcasts of past shows and Rick's audio tours of Europe's greatest sites in the radio section of our website. For the latest on Rick's radio and TV work, his guidebooks, and his European tours with small groups, visit ricksteves.com.